When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. KM to 2 a.m., we got 1 hour left, you heard. 877-337-6 and two more sixes. Get you right on the show. We're going to talk Mets for a second. The Mets are off today as they'll fly back home, and they've got two big series coming up. And if you heard me earlier, I was talking about Cody Bellinger and the Scott Boras clients and how they're all hurt, right? Even J.D. Martinez is a Scott Boras client. He's on the way back. Good. You're going to need him. You pair him up with Lindor, who's hitting now, and some of these other guys, Tyrone Taylor. Like, that's you got to find a way to have Tyrone Taylor in the lineup every day. Harrison Bader, Brandon Nimmo, Starling Marte. Like, it's a good problem to have. But this Cardinals series coming up, this Cubs series coming up, warmer weather coming up as I check Apple weather, which we need it, bro. We need it, man. Like, it's about to hit 70, 80. Like, the Mets are about to come home for this homestand. It's going to get warm out. The players hit better. They warm up when it gets hot out. The Cardinals are bums, and the Cubs are going to be without Cody Bellinger, who's been mashing. I think they have a chance here to go on a little bit of a run. They're two games above 500. They go on this West Coast swing, 500 West Coast swing, taking one series, losing the next. It is what it is. Blake Snell gets scratched. They got to have a bullpen game today. You absolutely mash their bullpen, and you stop the bleeding. They had a three-game losing streak. Doesn't go to four. Happy flight. Francisco Lindor having two home runs, four hits. Okay. The highest paid player gets like good. It's good energy. It's the right energy that you need. Let's go to Nacho, like I said we were going to do before the break. Cliffside Park, New Jersey on the Fan.
Keith, two nights in a row. How you doing?
You in there. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I saw you today. We're in Yankee Stadium. I saw your post on Twitter. Looked like a vibe. Looked like you're having fun there.
I'm always vibing. I'm always at the stadium trying to vibe, of course.
Yeah. Look, I just wanted to say, you know, I called in last night talking about Lindor, a little bit kind of pessimistic, but he proved me wrong today. I mean, he had a great game. He was hitting. I mean, when he got that two-run homer, I was shook. I was like, man, Lindor is hitting, you know, the highest-paid player finally hitting the ball. You know,
I wanted to bet him. I was listening to the game on 880 when he hit that first home run, and I'm like, "That's good." That like the was it his first at bat that he homered?
I think it was his second at bat. I think I gotta go look.
But either way, he had two homers, and I'm like, if you would have put $10 on Lindor to homer twice, that would have been like $600. Either way, it's good to see.
It's good to see. It's also J.D. Martinez had a good game today also. Right in Syracuse, I think him coming up will give some of the thing. The one thing I fear is like where would you put him in the lineup, you know? Because we will have to bring somebody down. Maybe somebody like DJ Stewart, which I mean he was playing good in the beginning. Maybe we could bring him down. But I think having G.D. Martinez on that rotation would be great.
Good problems Manea, to have. Like I just was saying about Tyrone Taylor, the way he's playing, he's hitting .327. This guy's got multiple home runs. He's racking up the RBI. Like he's been man. Coming over from Milwaukee, nobody knew who he was. He's been one of the best players, one of the best hitters, a pleasant surprise. Once he robbed that home run, or not robbed it, but he made that catch on Ozuna in Atlanta, it's like he took some superpowers from Ozuna. Now he's been hitting like Ozuna. You got to find a place for him to play. Now you got too many outfielders that are hitting between Marte, Bader, Nimmo, of course, is going to be in there. And like you just said, DJ Stewart's an outfielder too. He's been DHing, but he's got to move out of the way for J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez is a professional hitter, specifically going to DH.
Yeah, I think right now the big thing is it was sad to see Manea take that loss today because I felt that he played pretty well, like more or less. He had 100 pitches.
Manea didn't take the loss today.
Yeah, he did. He was taken off just before. He had 101 pitches. They took him off just before the Mets took the lead. So it was a loss for him. At least that's what I understood.
No, if you go to the box score, Sean Hegele, H-J-E-L-L-E, took the loss, and Reed Garrett gets the win. And I was listening to the game. You know, Manaea worked out of like
Reed Garrett also played good. Reed Garrett played good today.
Reed Garrett has been a great story for the Mets this year.
He has also.
Manaea didn't give up any earned runs. So how could Manaea? And they won the game.
I'm thinking about whatever. I got confused. Sorry.
Oh, good.
Reed Garrett had a good game today. He was pitching well. He's consistent. This is what I like. I like our relievers. Solid closer today. Listen, if you want to trade Diaz for Soto, look, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it,
Keith. No, but I think right now, like I said yesterday, I mean, the fear is that these guys will get worn out. But, I mean, it seems like they have the energy. They just lost two games to Giants. You would think that maybe they were a little demoralized or whatever. But, I mean, they came back.
Baseball.
Like I said, he shook me.
If they weren't demoralized starting off 0-5, losing every game at home, having to fight and claw and scratch to get the second win of the second game of a doubleheader for their first win, then they're not going to be demoralized from a little three-game losing streak out west. Thanks for the call, Nacho. 877-337-6666. Mets fans, tell me how you feel about the squad. I mean, they're 13-11. They're third place in the NL East, coming home to face the St. Louis Cardinals, who I believe are still in last place. And then the Cubs have been pretty solid. Let me go to the standings right now. But they're going to be without Cody Bellinger. So, yeah, the Cardinals are 11-14 in last place in the Central. The Cubs are 15-9. They've been pretty solid. We'll see, though. And it's going to get hot. It's going to get warm. It's going to be nice to go to the ballpark. The end. 877, you know the number to dial. Let's get back to talking about the New York Yankees. John and Masbeth, what's up? You're back on the Fan.
What's up, Keith?
You know, hosting the show for like another 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just going to say one thing about once, though. I'm running up. Sure, traditionally, if you look back at his splits for his career, April is his quote-unquote worst month of his career, where his OPS is .853, when every other month it's well over .900. And in June, it's like +1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, you know, he's usually a slow starter. And as of right now, after 25 games, he's on a pace to hit 38 home runs, 142 RBIs, 32 doubles, 130 walks, and 110 runs. That's after 25 games in April, which is his slowest month of them all. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, you know what it is, John? He's in New York. He's going to Madison Square Garden. He's sitting on the floor for Knicks games. He's going to Rangers games. He's Juan Soto. As soon as he comes out on the field, the fans start going nuts. Roll call. His name is the loudest. He is living the dream. He is at the apex. He is in the mecca of baseball, as Brian Cashman called it. And he's playing his best baseball early because, I mean, he's got Jordan MVP Barber giving him haircuts at 2 in the morning when he comes back from the first road trip. They're getting Dominican food at whatever time. Like, I don't even actually really know the half of the perks and the lifestyle that Juan Soto is probably living right now as a New York Yankee this first month. But I bet he's having a good time, and it's translating into him balling out of control. 877-337-6666. Keith is in Jersey City, and if I was to call, I would be either Keith from Jersey City or Keith from Ocean Township, but I haven't lived in Ocean Township in years, so I would be Keith from Jersey City. Let's go to Keith from Jersey City and see what he's got to say. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? I love, love, love your show. It's my first time calling, but I feel like I got to give you a little buzz.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. So before I get to my NFL draft point, I just was wondering. I'm personally a Mets fan, but if we can just talk some Yankees for a second, I was thinking that part of the reason why this whole Aaron Judge thing, this whole slump, was kind of because I feel like having Juan Soto there. I don't know if this is like a kind of like a mental error, but like Judge wasn't like the hero of the town anymore. Like Soto, everyone was giving him his flowers. And I feel like in a certain way, it was like a mental error that Judge had to get over, that there is other superstars in this town.
Maybe a mental hurdle. Maybe I think that's like a mental hurdle to get over.
Yeah.
Like,
something like that.
I think it's an adjustment, right? Like, you know, you're working at a job and somebody new comes in and they're killing it at the job and they're sitting in your seat and everybody's talking about how good they are. And, you know, I think for Judge, maybe there was a slight, I don't think Judge looks at anybody as his equal. Judge is 6'7", 280. But I think there was definitely an adjustment because he's playing center field. He used to be the guy. And are you all right, Keith?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry, I just got the kids making noise in the back. I apologize.
Something like Darth Vader was in the whip with you. But yeah, I definitely think that he felt something because I've been to games and Judge is the one signing autographs over there, throwing the ball to the fans, getting all that love. Now you got to share that love, and that's okay because I think Judge ultimately wants to win a championship, and he realizes you need a Juan Soto next to you.
Yeah, but like I also like, okay, I know we share the same name, but I hope I'm not catching your hiccups or something. But
I don't have the hiccups tonight. I've had them in the past, and actually my cough has subsided. That allergy cough I had, I'm good right now. I'm not coughing right now. I feel great.
Yeah, no, I'm getting nasally. I don't know why. No, but I don't know if you saw this. I just wanted to make a quick about the NFL draft. And, like, obviously, I don't know why you go for the Cowboys. I guess that's a different story.
Listen,
but for the Giants, personally, I feel like in the first round and things like that, they got to, I don't know, taking these quarterbacks, that's real risky. I don't know. They got to go for, like, one of these, like, guaranteed lock receivers. That's what I would personally do. As a Jets fan, you got to go offensive line or maybe, I don't know, this, like, tight end, not for me. I don't know. Kyle Pitts, like, things like that. I don't know. I forgot what that guy's name was, but I wouldn't go for that. But I don't know if you saw this. Like, in the third round, there are some new players that came out that should be great. I don't know if the Jets, did you see that defensive lineman, Plexico Washington or T.J. Whitehead? Did you see those guys coming out of UCLA? I just saw them put it out. Or Quincy Hollywood Jr.
We're gonna see him. I watched a lot of college football, but not enough to know everybody in the third round. Right, Keith, yeah. Thanks for the call, bro. It's just a lot of... Luke. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. I don't know why you go for the Cowboys. I don't know why I go for the Cowboys either. I picked them when I was a kid, bro. And, like, I think about how much I didn't know when I was 4 or 5 years old. And, like, I had no guidance. I remember I was talking to license plate guy last year in Legends. Like, he's like, Keith, you're the man, bro. I got to get license plate guy on. I know he's out in Detroit for the draft. He's like, you're the man, bro, but why the Dallas Cowboys? I was watching the television, bro. The Cowboys were winning Super Bowls. They were everywhere. The Giants were not appealing. The Jets were not appealing. And I didn't have anybody to tell me, you can't be a Dallas fan. My mom was like, that's the team you like? That's the hat you want? That's the jacket you want? Cool. You go to the playground, there's a couple other kids that are like, yeah, I'm a Dallas fan too. I like the Cowboys. And I've been rocking with them for 30 years. And to be honest with you, this is the first year where I've packed up my Dallas gear and it is in the back of the closet and it might stay there. It's not jiggy, bro. It is not player. It is not cool. It is not okay to wear Dallas stuff. There's this guy in Jersey City in my neighborhood. He walks around wearing this Dallas Cowboys 5-time champions with all the Super Bowl logos on it. I'm like, you're better than me. You're better than me. I don't want anybody to know I'm a Dallas fan because I don't want to have the conversation right now. Jerry Jones. And what are they going to do in the draft? Draft another offensive lineman? And what? It's like they suck in the draft. They draft Mozzie Smith out of Detroit, out of Michigan last year. What did he do this year? In the first round, you need to take an impact player that can help you right away. Unless it's a quarterback that you're stashing to sit for a year, understandable. But even now, that doesn't happen. Bryce Young play. CJ Stroud play. These guys play. And going back to the Giants, you know, You said a lock receiver. There's no such thing as a lock receiver. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is only as good as Geno Smith throwing him the ball. Quentin Johnson, supposed to be coming out of TCU, lit it up at TCU. What did he do for the Chargers? Nothing. Even Zay Flowers, who was awesome as a rookie, when the lights got to be their brightest, he absolutely folded. He crumbled. He melted in the moment. He looked all of a rookie. I think the Giants have to take a playmaker, yes. If Malik Nabers is there and you can't get the quarterback you want, good for you. I think they're going to try and trade up. Brian is in Bayonne. Brian, you're next up on the Fan.
Okay, I was like, Keith,
are you all right? He's like, the kids are making noise. I'm like, nah, that sounds like you're breathing the phone in.
That's something else. That's something else. one thing first, just what that you pointed out earlier. Tyrone Smith, I just feel like, is going to be a typical Jets signing. He's going to play 7 to 10 games and never regret ever giving him any money.
He's going to be hurt in camp. I don't want to speak on it. As a Cowboys fan, this is a guy that didn't even practice because he was so fragile. He deteriorated fast.
No, I agree. But so normally I agree with your opinions and points on everything. But let me give you some sort of a scenario. You do say that this draft is QB heavy and very QB talented. But some would also say that it's even more wide receiver heavy and wide receiver talented. So say you're the Giants, you're taking a wide receiver. You go into this year, Daniel Jones is either hurt all season and not good, and you're back in the same position you are this year with maybe even a higher draft pick, or he's good and you keep with him, or he's got trade stock. So going on that, all of this moving up, I think, is honestly just smoke and mirrors. Maybe they move up to get their guy, right? Maybe they get up to get, because they need a wide receiver.
It takes two to tango. Can't move up unless somebody wants to move up.
But with that said, say you're looking at four now. You look at Arizona, and you think Arizona thinks you're getting a quarterback the entire time.
Arizona?
And they're five.
They need to take Marvin Harrison Jr. They have no receivers. Michael Wilson is their number one wide receiver.
Exactly. So if they think you're taking a quarterback, and you go out and take either Marvin Harrison or whatever your wide receiver one is, that's all I think that is. I just think it's smoke and mirrors to possibly bring that situation up in hand.
And that's why we will be watching every second on that clock. We can't wait. I'll be on later tonight to talk about it. It's going to be riveting.
And like you said an hour ago, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
No one's supposed to know. The draft is a competition. Exactly. You guys hear me say that every time I talk about it. These teams are competing for assets. You're not supposed to. You don't tell the defense what play you're about to run. You're not about to tell the whole league who you're trying to get and what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave with this. I think if that smoke and mirrors is true, I could see them going up to four and getting their guy. But honestly, I think they're going to stay at six, get their guy. If not, if one of those three guys ain't there, they're going to go with Joel. Wait until next year, and we'll get a quarterback next year. Okay, and I'll see you. All right.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Joe Alt is a perfectly fine pick as well, but I don't know. I feel like this regime, they have picked offensive linemen, right? Like, think about how many draft picks the Giants have used in the first round on offensive line. Gettleman hit on Andrew Thomas. Evan Neal, the book is still out on. You have John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt at center. You signed a couple guys. Runyon comes over, Illuminor, whatever. Like, I think their line is fine. And I think you can shore up the line later in the draft, man. You don't want to be picking in the top 10. If you get a 6 overall pick, man, you got to get one of the best players available that can come in and make an impact right away. And I just am not sold on J.J. McCarthy, but I am sold on this regime knowing they need a quarterback. Their quarterback room is whack right now. Their quarterback room is one of the worst in the NFL right now. Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito. Howard's in Westchester County on the Fan. Go, Howard, go.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good.
Really enjoy the show a lot.
Thanks.
Share your passion for the Yankees for many years. Not sure about your Nets and Cowboys, but I wanted to talk to you about
both of those teams.
I wanted to talk to you about Daniel Jones and your opinion. Usually I agree with most of the things you say, but I'm not sure why Daniel Jones is viewed so negatively by you. If you look at the last season before that, went to the playoffs, 10 wins, one on the road against Minnesota, against Kirk Cousins, got to run with the wind. He's been surrounded by a terrible team, and I think he's got tremendous talent, and they should take Neighbors and put some people around him and see how he does, because I think he's tremendous upside if he stays healthy, and he's got an offensive line.
You know, I've defended Daniel Jones and said the same thing as you. Oh, he didn't have an offensive line. Oh, he didn't have receivers. Oh, but there's numbers out there that tell you Daniel Jones' decision-making, Daniel Jones holding on to the football, it's more on him. And especially when you see Tommy Cutlets have success, Tyrod Taylor have more success last year, it's like there's some truth to it. So there's this guy, Warren Sharp, and his at on Twitter is at Sharp Football. If you're a Twitter user and you're a Giants fan, go on Twitter, type in at Sharp Football space Daniel space Jones, and go look at some of the numbers and ranks that he has put up. I'll read them in a second, but I'll finish the call with Howard. Go ahead, Howard.
The only numbers I think, and maybe I'm biased because I do like the way he comports himself, but look at 2022 and the 10 wins and what he did that year when he stayed healthy. That's the only year that he played all season, and you could judge him on it. All the other year, I mean, last year he was out the whole year. The year before that, this team was a disaster. He hurt his neck. 2022, 10 wins with a crappy team around him, and he had 800 yards rushing.
The reason they won those 10 games, they stayed in the game. They stayed close. That defense kept them in the game, and Saquon Barkley was carrying the ball 30 times a game. He was willing them to victories, first downs, touchdowns. Daniel Jones was also running the ball, which I don't expect to see him be a runner anymore, not coming off that ACL. He's a different player now. He did not throw the ball into the end zone enough. This is the NFL. It's about points. It's about scoring 30 points. Daniel Jones had 15.
Give him neighbors and Hyatt
and a better offensive line, and maybe, but I don't even think he's ready for training camp. Thanks for the call, Howard. So, just looking at the numbers, let's go through this. Warren Sharp, at Sharp Football. Completion percentage on throws into the end zone. Like what I just said about his lack of touchdown passes, which, like, in this NFL, you heard me run through the names of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, even guys like Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. You gotta throw touchdown passes. Daniel Jones, I'm trying to find his name. Like, his name is so low. Completion percentage on throws into the end zone. That's actually not bad. He's actually ranked decent there. 44% when he's actually throwing the ball into the end zone. Let me try and find the numbers. There was some numbers that I had in my notes from Sharp Football on Daniel Jones that are just like, it just doesn't make him look good at all. But these numbers actually on Twitter do make him look good. Completion rate inside the 10-yard line, red zone. Daniel Jones is up there. This is from July 29th, 2023. 68%. Daniel Jones, completion rate inside the 10-yard line, he's the highest. Most efficient QB throwing outside the numbers. Daniel Jones ranks fifth. Highest percent of passes thrown under pressure. Daniel Jones, 43%. This is wild. Okay, the easiest time to pass the ball is on first down. This is the one I was looking for. This is the most recent one on April 12th. So we're in this year, not 2023. And Warren writes this. This is wild. The easiest time to pass the ball is on first down. Daniel Jones ranked 48 of 48 QBs on first down efficiency, minimum 100 attempts in 2003. Just 30% of his attempts were successful. The NFL average is 46. A lot of it was sacks, okay. But even if you remove sacks, he ranked number 47 out of 48 quarterbacks. Gross. Even removing sacks, He was pressured at a high rate, okay. But even if you remove attempts under pressure, he ranked 47 of 48 quarterbacks. Only Bailey Zappe was worse. So if everything is not perfect for Daniel Jones, he cannot throw the ball downfield. He cannot throw the ball into the end zone. The NFL is all off-script playmaking. The NFL is all, what do you do when the play breaks down, when the protection breaks down, when you have to improvise a little bit, when you got to create a little bit more time? That's what C.J. Stroud does. That's what Patrick Mahomes does better than anyone. That's what Lamar Jackson, that's what Josh Allen does. That is the modern-day NFL. Brian Daboll needs a quarterback that can play like that in this modern-day NFL. 877-337-6666. Fleek, should I break it down right here? Yeah, I think I'll take this break here. So when we come back, I'm going to run through the five calls that I have as quick as I can because time is burning on me this Thursday morning. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Mic check, 1-2, mic check, 1-2. Coming through to make it do what it do. KM to 2 a.m. All right, I've got 20 minutes left. Let's take these calls. People want to talk Knicks, Mets, Yankees, draft. I mean, what a day. If you're into sports, which you probably are if you're listening to WFAN at 1:30 a.m., you got the Knicks taking on the Sixers down there at Wells Fargo Center tonight. You've got the NFL draft tonight. Jets and Giants with top 10 picks again. You have the Islanders game over at UBS, a must-win game 3 against the Hurricanes. And I'll be on after the Yankees face the Oakland A's, looking to take that series before they head out to Milwaukee to face the Brewers and then to Camden Yards to face the Orioles. Let's go to Eric in Manorville. Thanks for holding, Eric. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me, brother. So, yeah, the vibe in New York sports right now is, like, top-notch. That's why I've been listening to you. You know, thanks for having me on the air again. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got it all going on. We're hoping, like, you know, Philly and Boston, like, the teams we have to go through with the Rangers and even the Knicks, you know, they don't want us to be. You know, they've been winning more than we have. You know, Philly made it to the World Series.
Yep, Super Bowl.
Won a bunch of stuff. New England, the Patriots. I mean, they're kind of stopping on us the last.
For sure. It's not even close comparing the cities as far as the success they've had in Boston and Philly to New York.
You know, it's like almost embarrassing. Like, you're from New York and you're like, we have like the greatest city on the whole East Coast. We should have at least highly competitive teams besides the Yankees that get consistently into the
yeah,
into
we got the New York Liberty and NYCFC.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I do watch
the women's hockey, though. The women's hockey, pro hockey, they're pretty good. So I kind of get into that. But I just, you know, just about the sports vibe and how you're doing it on the radio, it's really cool. And, like, you know, huge game tomorrow. I'd love to see the Knicks step on the Philly's neck. You know, like, play their game. Make them, like, overcompensate, kind of be like, okay, like, when you have a big lead in football, man, you know you can, the defense can tee off on the quarterback because they got to come back. You know, and you know
they're going to be pressing, and their fans are going to be on edge, and Knicks fans are going to be in there. And that's why I was saying earlier, if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm going down there to try and impose my will. I'm going down there to try and turn the tide. And When they're pressing, sometimes they don't play in the natural flow of the game. You know it's only a two-man game with Maxey and Embiid. If one of them is off and all of a sudden Jalen Brunson is on, they're going to start feeling the series slipping away.
Yeah, I don't think they really have a big-time three-point shooter hoisting up threes that can, like...
Maxey, that's it. Maxey shooting and Embiid will throw up a three here and there.
But, and then one more quick thing I wanted to talk about is the Mets. And I know there's so much going on with football and the draft, because football is like... I watch football every Sunday. Each game is, like, so important. Like, compared to baseball, it's such a long season. Like, every football game is, like, 10 baseball games. Just, you know, if you do the 60, if you do the math out of 16 versus 160. So, like, you know, I could see how people are not a fantasy guy. And, you know, the draft is huge for these. But right now, it's about Knicks and Rangers, you know, and, you know, just hoping the Mets and Yankees still, you know, cruise. But I would love to see the Knicks and the Rangers like keep going and going and going to keep the vibe up.
As it warms up, I hope they keep it going. I hope we have playoff basketball and hockey to talk about.
Yeah, there's negative stuff all over the world, and this is like something that everybody who's into sports can get buzzed up on.
It's supposed to be entertainment. Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Eric. It's supposed to be an escape, you know. I think it was Dwayne that called me from Union that said, you know, sports is supposed to be the deodorant for the world. I probably butchered that quote, but it's like, you know, sports can distract us from some of the nonsense and make us forget about some of the things that are going on in the world. And, I mean, I get so much joy just from watching games, going to games. Even, like, I get so much joy watching the draft. Like I was saying the other night, man, just watching these kids – see their dreams realized. These kids that have been working since they were 8 years old and put on a helmet to be NFL players come across that stage. Like, I love that. Let's go to Thomas in Center Reach as I'm trying to get through these calls.
Yo, Keith, back to back to back? What are we doing, baby? Call me the Islanders because we're getting four. I hope I'm getting four in a row calling you tomorrow.
The Islanders are not about to get four wins in a row, but... I'm calling.
Yeah, you're in
there. You're in there. Fleegs got all y'all in there. I'm like, I'm trying to get to everybody.
Yeah, before we get started, though, I just got to ask, this is a question for you, kind of, and a question for all of Boston. Are they paying Jason Tatum for the first three quarters of playoff games?
Yo, and you, I didn't listen to the post game with him, but you know how he is. Oh, I'm one of the best players in the world. Yeah, not all the time, bro. Let's see it. He's going to fold. That's what I said about Boston, bro. You can't tell me that they're just the outright finals winners. They got to prove it. They got to show me. They got to do it.
How ironic is it going to be that the 8 seed have a chance to beat the 1 seed back-to-back years in a row if the Heat are able to win?
Just the fact that the Heat won that one game, like, and that, like, we'll see. It's one game. Yes. But, like, they should sweep the Heat.
Yeah, they should, but I don't know. I don't remember who to. Somebody tweeted it and said, it was the quote from, I think, Jalen or someone last year when they were down 3-0 to the Heat, and they tweeted, "Don't let us remember when or something happened." With he had a quote, and he was talking about
Don't let us get one, and then they start believing, and then one thing leads to another.
One of the Heat players tweeted that. Well, I was mainly looking to talk about the Mets and the Yankees, and this first of all, Yankees question. Do you think if the Yankees bats go cold at the in maybe July or August, and Spencer Jones is there, do you think they should call up Spencer Jones and replace and see if he can play second and put Spencer Jones?
Some of you guys crack me up
over Glaber.
You guys are forgetting about Jason Dominguez. We're trying to fast track Spencer Jones. Jason Dominguez came up last year. The Martian was ridiculous last year. I want
to
see that
second.
Kid.
Just to play second.
Wait, did you say you want to play Spencer Jones at second base?
See if he can play. I know.
Spencer Jones is the same size as Judge. He's not about the foot. I'll let you go, Thomas. It's getting late. I think it's past your bedtime. I don't know if he can quickly get down there to field the ground balls at second base. Spencer Jones is an outfielder. He's not a second baseman. And if we're talking about any outfielder in August that should be coming up, it's the Martian. He should be up here in June. Quincy is in Rochester on the Fan. What's up, Quincy? You got it.
Hey, what's going on, Brother McPherson?
Yes,
great
sir.
To speak to you. We'll get you right before the 2 a.m. You know, I'm getting tired. I'm going to talk a little overtime, but you know, that's okay. I haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on, Keith?
Yeah, you know, just talking and talk.
You're just talking and talk, doing that walk. Hang in there. We're at the end. 2 minute warning of the fourth quarter. You got this, brother. I just want to talk a little Francisco Lindor. I know you were talking about, obviously, the betting stuff. I wanted to do that, too, today. I don't know why we were thinking the same things today. But I feel like Francisco Lindor, like, you know what he's going to give you. Besides for the fact that me as a Mets fan, personally, I don't know why, like, everyone was getting on him this year. This guy is a natural athlete.
I don't know why.
This guy is a natural. Besides for what he does defensively.
He gets paid a lot of money. He can't suck like that to start the year. Same way they were getting on Judge. They booed Aaron Judge. It's the same thing.
I know, but I was thinking, like, just defensively, like, that man's a vacuum out there. You see what he does defensively?
Well, No one ever complains about his defense. We know that.
No, but I feel like he's just such a natural athlete, and I feel like if you just give him his time and give him his space, I like what the fans did when we cheered him on.
Yes.
Also, about the Knicks, I had to ask you this question. I used to join you with the Brooklyn Brigade. I know who to go for, the Knicks or the Sixers. What are you doing in that series?
No, the Knicks, bro. I hate Philly. I hate the Sixers.
I hate Philly, too, but, like, all these Knicks fans, they're getting all over me these days.
You know what it is for me? I used to be in the Brooklyn Brigade, and we beat the Knicks, like, 7 times in a row, and I used to love giving it to Knicks fans.
I know. I remember those days. We were riding our high horse, and I was like, hello, there was a few, not too long ago, we had KD, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Yeah. I'm not going to remind you of those
days.
Now
we got Jordy,
like,
Fernandez. But check me out. The Knicks suck. I've watched the Knicks be terrible. I've watched the Knicks blow it. This never happens. So I'm not going to rain on the parade of the Knicks. I want to see how far
they
can go.
I know, but I'm just getting flack from my fellow Knicks fans. I'm like, man, what should I do?
Why?
I don't know.
Why
but
are you
like,
getting,
I
as a
like,
Nets fan, Knicks fans, should, as a Nets fan, my friends that are Knicks fans, they're not even mentioning the Nets anymore.
I know. I know you're talking a little puck. I like the fact that you joined the New Jersey Devils. That was great of you, Keith. But, like, obviously, I know you're new to the game of hockey, but, like, what do you feel like the New Jersey Devils should do this offseason? Obviously, we have such great young talent, Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, Keith Sherr, Jester Bratt, all these great players, but I don't know. It just didn't mesh, and the things didn't work out this season. Last season, we beat, obviously,
healthy.
Those bad Rangers. What do you think the New Jersey Devils should do?
Get healthy. Get the goalie situation squared away. Get Dougie Hamilton back. They'll be all right.
Yeah,
they'll be back
Dougie.
Next year. They'll be back next year.
I know. No, but Keith, that was great that you joined us at New Jersey. That was great. Well, I really appreciated it when I heard that you joined the. Obviously, I know they threw stuff at you to join the club, but that was great. And just quick, the NFL draft. I don't know if you saw this, but, like, do you see these players that they just put out there? That for, like, the big, I feel like this, I don't know, I'm getting tired. I'm going to go to sleep.
Loopy on a late night. Yeah, shout out to the New Jersey Devils. Travis Green, Lindy Ruff got hired by the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know. I've seen a bunch of the players that they've put out there for the NFL draft. I've been looking at it for months. I know all the guys that are supposed to go. Can't wait to see where they actually land. Lewis is in Brooklyn. Hello, Lewis.
Yeah, what's doing? I've had a holiday, so I'm out of it. You got to fill me in. What's happening with the Cowboys? Who are they going for?
Oh, it's terrible.
What are they drafting?
It's terrible, Lewis. It has reached all-time embarrassing lows for the Dallas Cowboys. They're about to bring Ezekiel Elliott back. That's the newest thing. Ezekiel Elliott is in contract talks with the Dallas Cowboys. Like, they're going backwards to the point where the guy that they gave a 6-year, $15 million-a-year contract that they had to cut because they were up against the cap. They're bringing him back. It's going to be Ezekiel Elliott, Royce Freeman, Deuce Vaughn,
and they got
Rico Tauter.
Pollard.
Yeah, well, they didn't get rid of Pollard. They didn't want to pay him, so he went back home to Tennessee. And the Titans, who moved on from Derrick Henry, are like, "Yeah, sure, we'll take Tony Pollard, no problem."
So, But who are they going for? Who are they going to draft? Who are they?
I think they need an offensive lineman. I think they're going to take the best offensive lineman. Or maybe they do something stupid. But all the mock drafts have them taking an offensive lineman at 24. Maybe an interior lineman. Maybe a guard.
You know what I heard on the Fan one time? I don't know. Maybe it was Tiki. Maybe it was Kev. I remember who it was that said that Dak Prescott would be a good match for the Giants.
I mean, if they don't draft a quarterback here, anybody could be interested in Dak Prescott potentially. The same way Kirk Cousins now just ended up with the Falcons. Like, Dak Prescott is in the last year of his deal. Jerry Jones is just sitting on his hands with CeeDee Lamb pending. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got paid, so we know how much CeeDee Lamb is going to cost. But Dak Prescott could be a free agent after this season. Most likely will be.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. A fourth round quarterback that you could have locked up for the low. They've had to pay him and pay him and pay him. They're going to have to pay him again. So dumb. It's just like, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, you think because you own the team and you're rich that you can run the team. You've run the team into the ground. There's a reason why you have success in the regular season and then you fail in the playoffs, because it's all flash and not substance. It's not real.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, sorry,
Lewis.
Have
a good night.
Yeah, sorry, Lewis. I know you love the Cowboys. I don't. I'm not making my son a Dallas fan. I told y'all that. If my son wants to be a Giants fan, I'm not going to stop him. If my son wants to be a Jets fan, I'm not going to stop him. We live right in New Jersey, 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium. I'm not going to stop him. If he starts going to school in the next 4 or 5 years and all of his homies are Giants fans and J.J. McCarthy is leading them to playoff victories, I say, all right, brother, we got to go root for the G-Men. I'll take you to the game. I'm not putting on any G-Men gear, but I'll go there with you. I'll wear my Yankee cap. We'll root for the Giants. The Cowboys, it don't make any sense for me to rock with them anymore, bro. Until Jerry Jones falls back, he's 81 years old, and he's just getting dumber and dumber. He's getting more out of touch. I don't know what their plan is. And I don't think they know what their plan is. We're going to be all in this offseason. They signed Eric Kendricks and Royce Freeman. The first move they made was to re-up their long snapper. And so they're inactive, talking about, oh, yeah, we just want to wait and see. Yeah, because the longer you wait and see, the more money you're going to have to pay these guys. And there's a salary cap, Jerry Jones, so you might have all the money in the NFL. You might be the richest owner in the NFL. You might have the most value for your team, but there's things you can and can't do. And clearly, you don't hire the people that know how to play the game. You and your son just don't have it figured out. So Mike McCarthy, I just saw he got new representation. He's good as gone. No matter what happens this year, they're not winning anything this year. So you see the Dallas Cowboys go 12-5. They're not going 12-5 again. They'll probably lose to the Commanders this year. The Commanders will probably close the gap on them. They'll be a third-place team. It'll be the Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants in the NFC East. And then Dak Prescott. Why would Dak Prescott want to stay? He's made so much money off the Dallas Cowboys brand and not won anything. And every playoffs, it falls on him. They blame it on him. Oh, Dak throwing interceptions. Dak can't win the big game. Go somewhere else. I'm sure there's going to be some team that would love to have him. He'll be a Denver Bronco after this season. Somebody mark that. Mark that. The Denver Broncos brought in Russell Wilson next season after they have Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. Yeah, they'll bring in Dak Prescott for 2025. And then CeeDee Lamb wants his money, but CeeDee Lamb's not going to just want to play with Trey Lance. How dumb was the Trey Lance trade? You gave up a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance? They gave up nothing for Mac Jones. They gave up nothing for Zach Wilson. Jerry Jones made that trade with the 49ers. 49ers were laughing their asses off. Yo, he actually gave us a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. The kid can't play. The kid can't play. All you did was undermine Dak Prescott last year by putting Trey Lance in the building. Dumb. It is extremely frustrating to root for a team that the ownership has a owner that is, he has like three titles, and then his son has three titles, and they fail, man. It is embarrassing. I'm over it. And now, like, I'm on the fan. This is my third year on the fan. There's no reason for me to rep the Dallas Cowboys. Y'all know who I'm a fan of. You know who I grew up rooting for. But I'm a football fan. I played football my entire life. I know the game. I can just come on a fan and talk about the X's and O's, the Jimmys and Joes, and never mention anything about being a Dallas Cowboys fan. Sounds like a plan. Mario out in Long Beach, my last call of the night. You got it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad I got on. Great show.
Thanks.
You know, just a little tidbit quickly about Daniel Jones. You're so right about him. I actually did a analysis. Tyrod Taylor has much better numbers than Daniel Jones does.
Yeah, so why? Like, I don't know. I think everybody knows. I don't know how there's still people in the camp of give Daniel Jones a shot. He's had 6 years of a shot. What are we talking about? Give him another shot?
No way. But quickly, my point is about the Knicks. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Boston Celtics game tonight, or you were on the
I was at the Yankee game, but I was paying attention to the score, and Jimmy Butler didn't play, right? Or Jimmy Butler?
No, he didn't play.
Jimmy Butler didn't play. It was all their starters had double-digit points. It was Tyler Hero and Caleb Martin knocking down three-point shots. They couldn't stop them. Tyler Hero had six threes. Caleb Martin had five.
Yep, but here's the thing that I noticed, and tell me what you think, then I hang up. I know you got all the calls coming in, so I'll make it real quick.
No, the show is going to end with you. You got it. Go.
Okay. So here's what I noticed. I noticed that Boston does not have that intensity or aggressiveness that the Knicks have. They will look soft. I mean, Miami was going for every loose ball. That's unacceptable. The Knicks might lose, but you'll never not see them diving.
What the hell happened to Kristaps Porzingis tonight? He was a minus 32. He had 6 points. He didn't even shoot that much. 0 for 4 from 3, 1 of 9.
Even Tatum is sometimes soft. Tatum sometimes is not aggressive.
As big as he is, he is soft. What else happened? Drew Holiday only had 9 points.
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking now, even if the Knicks play Boston, they can beat Boston. Absolutely. And Miami might even beat them.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and watch the highlights.
I appreciate I got on. Have a good one, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mario. Now I'm looking at the box score. What were they doing in Boston? The Miami Heat held them to 101 points? Ew! In the third quarter coming out of half, they held them to 18 points? In their own building? In the playoffs? See, that's what I'm saying. These bums in Boston, like, I think I had a call the other night, and I think it was Chris that calls from, like, Lynchburg, Virginia or something like that. That's a Boston fan that checks in with me. I'm like, you Boston fans are so entitled. You got to show me, bro. Just because you won 65 games in the regular season, I don't care. It's a different game when you get to the playoffs. And this team that you put together with a couple new faces like Kristaps Porzingis, Drew Holiday, whatever, they got to show up. And they've been fraudulent. Let's see. Let's take a look. The tail of the tape. Did they get out-rebounded? They definitely got outshot. Barely out-rebounded. Pretty much the same rebounds, 40-39. That three-point percentage. Yeah. 53. The Heat, I don't know if it's sustainable. They shot 53.5% from three-point land. The Celtics only shot 37.5. What about the free throws? Close on the free throw disparity. Man, they just D'd them up. Would they play that zone? The Celtics had nothing for the zone. Hey, this is it right here as the time runs out. It's Joe Mazzulla versus Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra has enough to compete with Joe Mazzulla, who has a better roster. Right? They don't even have Jimmy Butler. I got to go home and watch this game. I got to go home and either hit League Pass. I don't even have to hit League Pass. This is the playoffs. Hit ESPN, SportsCenter, hit YouTube, watch the highlights, and see how this unfolded. Because now they got to go back to Miami, or they got to go to Miami for the first time. They play well in the Kaseya Center. And those Miami Heat fans got called out for not supporting their team in the play-in. You know why? Like DJ Khaled and Fat Joe. Fat Joe double time. He does New York and Miami. Who else is a Miami fan that you see down there? You see like J Balvin, man. You see J Balvin out there. yes, Jules. I bet you their fans show up now. As the Sixers fans are dipping out on Game 3, I bet you those Miami Heat fans show up for Game 3. The NBA playoffs is different, bro. Boston Celtics, soft. Their fans love to talk. They smack the Brooklyn Nets. I had to hear it from Celtics fans. But they got humbled. They got humbled. Let's see how they respond. Joe Mazzulla, draw it up, Joe. Eric Spoelstra's like, oh, I got enough. Without Jimmy? Remember when Jimmy and him were going at it? He's like, oh, this is perfectly fine. I'm going to do this without Jimmy. Rest that knee, Jim. Coming up next, my guy C-Mac's going to talk to you. C-Mac, this is your last night to get on the Fan and let anybody in the Giants fandom, Giants front office know that you want the quarterback. Come in here and do your thing. Call him up. I'll be back to talk about everything in a few hours. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.